Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Well, we're back in Spurgeon Library at Midwestern Baptist Seminary. Thanks, folks, for allowing us to come back. I'm not even sure they know we're here.
They don't. We use the Baptist key. It's called a butter knife, and we jerry-rigged the lock, and we're in, and we're not leaving until we're done.
It's Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, who has a butter knife.
I do.
And Mark Halleck is with us. I'm Dan Hurst. And today we're going to talk about something that I love. I love that this is becoming more and more a part of churches today, and that is the focus on the family itself, the units of the family, and dedicating our children and really committing them to the Lord. And we're not talking about baby baptism.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That people get the, you know, young Christians, oh, we want to have our baby baptized. Well, that's really not what you're saying, is it?
Right.
You know. So let's talk a little
bit.
Well,
if you want to have your baby baptized, go back about three episodes and listen to our episode on your statement of faith. People will know that we don't baptize babies.
Yeah.
All right. It seems like every time I start a podcast, I always say, well, back when, so why change it now?
Listen, man, you got great stories.
Back when I was a kid and child, we did not, Southern Baptists, for the most part, did not do baby dedications.
Really?
That's interesting.
Because it was too much like, it was like
too Catholic,
baby baptism light.
Oh.
And there was a sense that people,
It would confuse people.
Yeah. We didn't do them as commonly. Now, I'm sure somebody said, oh, we did them. I'm just telling you, it wasn't nearly as common 40 years ago, 50 years ago, baby dedications. I'll tell you something else that wasn't common 40 or 50 years ago in Southern Baptist life. That is Christmas Eve services.
Hmm.
We did not have Christmas Eve services.
Is that right?
No.
Interesting.
No, we had New Year's Eve watch night parties.
Yeah, we did too.
And by the way, when you're talking about, we had a Haitian congregation in our church at Warnell. They would not do a New Year's Eve service, but they had a watch night party.
What in the world is a watch night party?
Watch night party is where you get together on 6-7 o'clock on New Year's Eve, and you watch until the new year. And basically, you want to be praying from one year to the next. So you have some singing, some fellowship, maybe some games and some fun. But then around 11:30, you go into worship so that you get – usually we got down on our knees. And I always – as a kid, I always looked up and I was watching the clock. Uh-huh. And we'd all be praying and I'm looking at the clock. And then as we're praying, you hear fireworks going off and everything. I'm just being honest,
that
right?
Cool.
I was watching
my
party. But we didn't do New Year's Eve because that was – not only Catholic, but kind of mainline Lutheran, Episcopalian, and we're Baptists. We don't do New Year's Eve. Mm. We don't do Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
We don't do Christmas Eve. Guys, I know a lot of you do Lent, and you do that.
The Good Friday.
Good Friday.
Well, Monday, Thursday.
We didn't do that either.
Yeah.
And we certainly didn't do Lent.
Yeah.
And we certainly do Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
I mean, I know some Southern Baptist guys who do Ash Wednesday. We none of that.
Right.
And to some degree, back in those days, we didn't even do Advent. You can go to a lot of regular, just ordinary Southern Baptist churches in the 1950s and 60s, and they did not do Advent.
Yeah.
All of it. Okay, I'm not saying it's good, bad, or indifferent. It's just changed. That's all I'm saying. Don't pick on me. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. I'm just giving you a history lesson that you don't want. But baby dedications are something relatively recent in mainstream Southern Baptist life, but they have become incredibly popular, and many, many churches do them, and for good reason.
Yeah.
There's good reason to do baby dedications, right? Some of the reasons?
Well, yeah, let's talk about it. So in a baby dedication, when I lead a baby dedication, you know, there's three things that I think mark a baby dedication. One is we're thanking God for the gift of this life. We are just praising the Lord for this baby, this child. Number two, we are encouraging the parents, and the parents before the Lord are making a commitment to raise this child up in the ways of Jesus. And then thirdly, we as a congregation are making a commitment to these parents and to this child to come alongside them, to encourage them, to help them grow as parents, and to help raise this child up in the ways of Jesus. So it's a it's very much a communal part. So as you've said before, it's not even so much about the baby mm-hmm. as it is about the parents and the church and our role in raising this child up in the ways of Jesus, that we pray at a young age that they would come to surrender their life to Christ as Lord and Savior and be baptized.
And so now there's become sort of baby dedication or sort of preschool dedication, four-year-old dedication. You know,
it gets a little weird.
I would like my
fourth grader.
We would like. I'm telling you, we would like to have. We would like to have Corinne dedicated. She's 9 months old, but her older brother, Stephen, he's four and he's never been dedicated. We do him as well?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, that you know,
it's weird. I know.
Yeah, and so I've had that happen.
Oh, yeah,
and before
me too.
Long, I got a picture from my Facebook several years ago. On Mother's Day. We just dedicated every kid in our church. I'm sorry. They all came up there, and it was like, okay, now it almost means nothing. I don't know. I think baby dedication, I do think culturally, there's a main significance culturally, especially maybe for some grandparents mm-hmm. and extended family who are in from a faith background where children are baptized as infants. So your baby baptism is really important. It's a major rite of passage for this
mm-hmm,
child.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Catholic, it's kind of where you get the name and all of that. Plus, even among our Presbyterian friends and stuff like that, mm-hmm. it's an entrance into the covenant family.
People, yeah.
I mean, it's really important.
Yep.
And so sometimes it's like, well, we don't get to do that. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
right.
And so we want to make sure we don't make it a weak substitute for that.
Yeah, right.
So when you're...
Good point. That's a really good
point.
When
people come to you and say, and I've had them, and you have too. We've had people come to us and say, man, we'd like to have our baby baptized. Oh, we mean dedicated. I've had them actually correct themselves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they're seeing that model, all right? I think it's a really important time for the pastor to sit down with that couple and talk about what baby dedication means.
Yes, exactly.
And what it's not.
That's right.
To make sure they understand this is not bring this child into salvation.
Yep.
This is not an entrance into anything like that. It is exactly what you said. Write these three things down if you're listening, and maybe we'll have Kyle put them in the show notes. First, it's a gratitude of God for
Amen.
This life made
That's
in
right.
his likeness.
That's right.
Secondly, it's a commitment of the family, the parents,
yes.
to raise this child in the gospel.
That's right.
And more importantly, is the commitment of this church
That's
to
right.
raise this child in the love of the gospel.
Amen. That's right.
And in the midst of that, to pray for the protection of this child, the wisdom of this child, the growth, and so that's why how you do it.
Yeah.
And I prefer doing a few at a time rather mm-hmm. than saving them all up and doing them all on Mother's Day.
Sure.
I've seen people do that, do eight or ten of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like to do them one at a time and spread them out in that regard. Tell me how you do yours.
Well, and I would say the same thing with baptism. I mean, we've said
true.
This before.
We talked about that.
I want to put that in front of our people as often as possible. Because again, this is, you're casting vision for what kind of church you want
to be. So I want to go on record. I agree we should have baby dedications.
Yeah.
I think that's important, okay?
Yeah.
I think, like baptism, it's an opportunity for that family. It's an opportunity for you to have a good gospel conversation with that family.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So here's our process, okay?
Okay,
and let me
ahead.
Just tell you how we do it. So one is we will have regularly, every 2 months or so, a class that explains what is baby dedication.
Do you really?
We have a class. So what are we doing here? What's the point? What are the expectations?
Awesome.
And in that class, one, it's a great chance to talk about family discipleship.
What if they're not a member of your church?
Discipleship in the home. Well, members are the only ones who are invited to the class.
Okay, but let's just say.
If they weren't a member.
You've got attenders.
Yeah.
I've had this happen.
Yeah.
I've had attenders who say, I would like our baby dedicated.
Yeah. I'd have to think about that.
Well, there's not much to think about.
I mean,
unfortunately. What you got to think about is how you tell them it can't be done.
Yeah. I mean, but the bottom line is.
Why?
Yeah, without
Why?
Membership. Yeah. Part of it is, I think to me it's tied into the membership of this body.
Yes.
And what we're doing. It's not like, hey, get them dunked. It's like when you get somebody who wants to just be baptized and
not be
a member of your church. So it comes under your ecclesiology. Really.
Yeah, it does. I just think if you care enough about our church that you would like our church to dedicate your child, then let's talk about why you're not caring enough about our church for this church to be your church home.
Yeah.
And if you're asking our church to commit ourselves to walk with you as you raise this child, then we need to be in that kind of – plus, I'm responsible for every member under my care.
That's right.
How do I know? I just think it almost becomes we want a picture opportunity. We want to know. We want to check this off our list that our child's been dedicated, that kind of thing.
No, for sure.
And I would – and that's a problem because you'll get people who attend who aren't members.
Yeah.
And – for whatever reason, they're not joining, but they hear you're having a baby dedication. Yeah. We would like him dedicated. It's just it's a conversation
I guess,
you have to
I guess
have.
I would say this. They would have to at least be a very committed attender of our church moving toward membership. Because here's the thing. You literally can't with integrity do what we do. We recite vows as a congregation to this family and this child. If I don't know that they're actually committed to this church, this doesn't work. This is a charade, what we're doing here. So there has to be a level of commitment and a seriousness to that.
So you actually have announcements that we're going to have a baby dedication.
We do a class. We go after couples, and then we invite them to this class.
Well, you're proactive about
it. So
we're
proactive. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We go after them, invite them to come, cast vision for that. Help them discern if they're ready. Like, I mean, that's part of why we say that's kind of the gateway for us.
Who teaches this class?
We have a family pastor. Any of our pastor elders could teach it, but we have a pastor elder who focuses on families. And it's an awesome class. And here's another cool thing we do. And part of coming out of that class, and when we do the dedication, we have each couple come up with two things, a family verse and a family mission statement.
Wow.
And it's fun, and they share that. So the father usually, and when we're dedicating, like this last week, they share, we put up on the screen, this is going to be our family verse. You know, so they spend time praying about this. And this is our family mission statement. We want to be a home that, you know, seeks to worship Jesus and love our neighbor as ourselves or whatever it might be. So there's real ownership. We're going, hey, this is great. Now let's make vows. Let's come alongside this family and help them to live this out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so then we pray over them, and it's a celebration, but there's more to it than just, hey, let me just pray for the kid and God bless you
and get a picture.
Yeah,
right. That's awesome, Mark. I really like that.
Yeah, so it's been a great thing. I mean, I think it helps us. The bigger vision is how are we discipling young families and children over the course of years and years and years? And the reality is you got to start right, and this is where it starts. You know, it starts right, and so let's move forward and build off these things. And there's other markers that we have as a church of when they get their first Bible, and we make a big deal out of that, and,
that's
you know,
awesome.
Different stages.
Rites of passage
all the way until they graduate from high school.
That is awesome.
So anyway, it's
So baby dedication. I think it's great to let your congregation know we do have baby dedications for church members if you're interested in that. I love the fact that in order to have the baby dedication, the parents need to come to some kind of a class or a discussion, a conversation with a pastor. If you're a church like mine, we don't have that many people. We couldn't have a class. But I do agree. Let's say, you know, a young couple want to have their baby dedicated. Great. Let's set up a time and let's meet together.
Yeah.
And let's talk about what it means to be a gospel parent. I think at that point you can have some good material for them on how to raise their children in the gospel.
Exactly.
And then I love the idea. We'd like you to give you some homework, go home and pick a, you say a scripture.
We do a scripture, like what is a verse you'd love to just kind of mark
family scripture.
Family.
What was the other thing you said?
And then a mission statement.
A mission statement. You help them write one?
So we'll kind of work with them on it.
What's a mission statement sound like?
So a mission statement would just be something like as simple as, you know, as Halex, we want to be a home that seeks to love Jesus with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbors as ourselves, and enjoy God and all that He is. Or, you know, and it could be different things. I mean, different families have different focuses.
So if we do that, then it's just like the baptism we talked about a couple of weeks ago. You could print up invitations. They could send invitations to their family and friends. And on the back, they could even describe, you know, baby dedication is not baptism. It's different. It's when we and explain all that. It's a really good move, Mark.
So
like
for
that.
Our family, it's 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So our kids, like to this day, this is what's fun. Over years of pastoring a church, if families take this seriously, man, it's embedded into them. So our kids to this day will be having dinner. My daughter's in college and son, and we'll recite our family memory verse. And how are we living that out?
You have really flipped a switch in my life about baby dedications. I'll be honest with you. I did them. I was never overly excited about them.
Yeah.
I felt like, But now I am. But now I am.
Well, it's like when you get, a fresh vision for this, it can be really powerful in your church, you know?
No,
and
I think
as a
great.
Pastor, it's a blast.
Okay, I love that. And so, so have that conversation with them. I like picking the verse, picking the mission statement, inviting family and friends.
Let them share those two things up on stage with the church.
Yeah.
And we put it up on the screen. So part of it is they're taking ownership. You know, how we talk about in baptism is the testimony of, how Jesus saved me. In baby dedication, we're saying to mom and dad, hey, give us your testimony. What are you going to do here? Mm-hmm. How does this look? What is the mission of your church? This is on you now. We're here to help and support you, but you're the one who's called to lead. So it actually raises the bar.
That's awesome.
In a way that I think is helpful.
One of the things that we've done, we haven't gone to the extent that you have done that, and I love what you're doing
good
there.
Stuff.
But one of the things that we have done is on the platform, we will bring up the individuals in the church that are connected to these people. For example, the babies. Nursery worker, the Sunday school teacher, the person that invited them to church, that sort of thing. People who are connected to them, and they are part of that family prayer that we have at the very and sometimes we'll have one of them lead it, because they're particularly meaningful to that family.
Now, if the child is agreeable to it, and you can kind of tell whether they're going to be fussy or cry or whatever, one of my side gigs. Is that I have been known to actually be Santa Claus.
I'd believe it.
At Christmas.
I bet you're a great Santa.
I've ridden in on a hook and ladder truck in the bucket. I have video of that.
And that's like your dream, man.
I do. I ride in on a hook and ladder truck in a bucket. The firemen like it too. They have a good time. And the kids are all lined up in front of City Hall, and they're all waiting for Santa. And I come, and I flip the switch on the city Christmas tree, then I go set in, and the kids all line up and have their picture taken with me. And 9 times out of 10, the kids are teared to death, and the parents just say, hold on to them while I get the picture. So you're holding on, and they're screaming bloody murder, and you're holding them, and they take the picture. You don't want to do that in baby dedication.
No.
Oh, by the way, if you were going to, when I first became a Santa, by the way, I had a couple people on Facebook, some wonderfully loving pastors text me and tell me, what an absolute sinner I was for giving into the Christ is the center of Christmas, not Santa.
Yeah.
So I told him to get a life.
Encouragers.
Anyway, encouragers. But you don't want to create a situation where the kid's screaming and crying because you're grabbing him from the parent.
Yeah.
So you need to be sensitive to know. If this kid's going to be okay.
Well, I don't. And honestly, and you know me, I'm a touchy guy, and I love baby. I don't even hold babies.
Okay, but
anymore.
Here's what I do. I try to.
Yeah, I give it a shot.
Again, because I'm a professionally trained Santa.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's true.
I have some experience.
You are an expert.
So you can kind of tell when you look at the kid, is he really – and so you kind of – I will basically kind of hand him to me. And if I sense he's really freaking out, I just kind of hand him back to the parent, right? Yeah. But oftentimes they're not, especially if they're really small. Mm, if it's a baby, they don't really know. And one of the coolest things you can do – my friend Frank Lewis years ago wrote this in an article, and I've done it. Every time I have baby dedication, and I love it. Frank, actually, if it's a small baby, like an infant, and they are kind of – they're okay. They're not creeping out. Frank, and he was a pastor at First Baptist Nashville, Tennessee. This was way before the Lion King, all right?
Oh, I know where this is going.
This is way before the Lion King.
Oh, man.
But he did it. And he'd take the child, and he would walk down the aisle a little bit with the child, and he would say, Kyle? This is your church family. Hmm. And church family, this is Kyle. Hmm. Now, I don't necessarily walk down the aisle because I don't have cat-like instincts, and I'm scared to death I would fall with a baby. It would not be a good day.
No.
Right? So it's hard enough for me to stand still and not fall over. So I do take the child if I feel like that they will let me do that, and oftentimes they do. And I'll turn the child around and face the congregation, and I'll say in a very soft voice, I'll say, Kyle, this is your church family. And I'll say, church family, let's say hi to Kyle real softly. And they go, hi, Kyle. Then I would say, church family, will you agree with me that you're going to help Kyle grow in the love and knowledge of Jesus? And we're going to love him and help give him every opportunity to know. And we're going to support his mom and dad. Church family, will you agree with that? Yeah. And I say, Kyle, these people are going to love you.
It's a very
introduction to the church family.
Yes, yep.
And people have been very affirming of that. And again, it came from Frank Lewis. But short of that, make sure, as you said, I love the gospel conversation with the family. I love the mission statement and the scripture, and then letting the church know that we are thankful for the baby, for the life.
Yes.
We're praying for the parents.
Yep.
And we're going to care for the child as the family.
Yep.
Until that. Yeah, it's great. Good stuff.
Great.
One word of caution, though. Don't do like an old pastor I had. He'd take the baby and just hold him up in the air.
Yeah, it is. You know? Not quite like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, just scare the pee-wackadoo out of the kid, you know. It's just awful.
Not quite like that.
You've been listening to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, and thank you so much. Thank you to the North American Mission Board for helping to make this possible, and to Midwestern Baptist Seminary for allowing us to use Spurgeon Library, in spite of the fact that they've had classes going on there while we were in here.
Yeah.
But we were quiet. We behaved ourselves.
And so,
right. Thank you all so much for spending time with us. Take care.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.